Are we ready? For you who don't know, we are talking about becoming a world changer. We have been preaching this message since the duration of 14 years. We are summing it all up today. And it's a combination of everything that we've taught. And this makes Streams unique in that we are going to be those world changers. We are going to be those history makers until Jesus comes back. Amen? Take your word out. If you don't have a Bible, we'll get you one. You can use mine. Okay? Just pretend you got one in your hand. Father, I have your word and I know it's true. I am what it says I am. I have everything it says I have. And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Last week we started down this road about what it means to be a world changer. And then I dealt with four specific areas last week. Who could tell me at least one? One of those specific things. Preaching was good, preacher, but I don't remember what you said. Just one. Anyone. I have to go to my good student here, the note taker. All right, Miss Holly, give them one. Maybe that'll start the juices. Amen. Prayer. Our personal prayer lives. And I exhorted you to step it up, you know, because what is required of us isn't to be pew sitters. The church is not here to entertain you. The church is here to train and equip you. I mean, that's what fivefold is for, is to train and equip you to do the works of the ministry, to do service and help people and do those things. So a prayer life is important. Second most important thing is our intercessory prayer as a body. And we have been meeting here for since the middle of December on Sunday mornings. And once we have the diaconate meeting today, we'll hopefully institute a second time in which we can get together. Maybe Sunday mornings are not conducive to you. So we are looking to expand that for those who have the time to do this. Intercessory prayer. Third thing was self-reflection. See if you're in the faith. Just because you can walk or talk the talk doesn't mean you're walking the walk. You need to see what fruit is being produced. You cannot produce fruit. That's the Holy Spirit's job. What fruit is He producing in your life? And what fruit does He want to produce that you're resistive to? This is all part of seeing that we're in the faith. See if we're growing up in the things of Jesus Christ. And the fourth thing was, what? What was the fourth thing? Eliminate everything that will keep us in spiritual ignorance. That means we need to prioritize our time around what God says we are so that we can be equipped and trained to do those things. We need to prioritize ourselves to be around the body of Christ. And we need to eliminate everything that robs that time. Then that means our I'm not saying that we can't have fun, but those things that take an inordinate amount of time away from our time with God need to be put off to the side. It means people who want to take up our time. I call them spiritual parasites. They live off of your life, and you don't even realize how draining that is. And if you're not around the body of Christ, if you're not constantly being fed, you will become spiritually drained and tired. And so you need to eliminate those people until such a time that you're strong enough to minister to them and get them to progress in their spiritual journeys. Amen? And today we're going to start off with topic 5, We're going to run to 10. I have more, but God says not to do more. So, okay. Today, we're going to start with overcoming compromise. Ephesians 4:14 says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. James 4:7-10 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Overcoming compromise. We have areas in our lives, all of us have areas in our lives that the Holy Spirit has been trying to shake loose. And we've been resistive. Because we like our areas of compromise. That's called comfort zones. Those comfort zones are deadly to us. And when we don't allow the Holy Spirit to deal with us and us be obedient in what he's doing, we compromise ourselves to our own harm. That compromise may be, instead of praying, we may be working overtime. Instead of gathering together with the saints to intercede for the nations and intercede for our community and our leaders and stuff, that may be a comfort zone of saying, well, you know what, Pastor, that's too early in the morning for me to get up. You don't understand what I have to go through to get here. You don't understand what God is requiring of you. I understand succinctly. You have to conform to his will. We sang that today. Not my will, but have that conform to your will. You see, we compromise, and then we put religion on our compromises. And then when we put religion on that, we justify why we're disobedient to what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us, to conform us to his will. You see, the church has a glorious plan. And that includes you, and that includes me. And when you are not fulfilling the will of God for your life, that hurts me, and that hurts the rest of the body, because when one hurts, they all hurt. And we have to understand that we are interconnected. We're not only interconnected here at Streams, we're interconnected with all the churches here in Williamstown. We're not in competition with them. And what God is trying to do is to pull down these areas of compromise so that we can cross the barriers and work with other churches instead of reinventing the same wheel. I talked to a pastor who has a food bank, and he says, you know, you're more than welcome to help serve in the food bank. I said, praise God. He says, well, what's the vision? God has told me to go work with the food bank in town. He goes, really? Why would you want to go to the food bank in town? We have one here. I said, because that's where the people go. He looks at me like I have a third eye. I said, we're told to go out and get them. We're told to bring them back. How am I going to get them if I don't go out to them? How are you going to be able to go fishing if you don't go to the fishing hole to fish? Or you don't launch your boat out with a net and bring them in. Compromise. Reading the Word of God is an area of compromise. I tell everyone, if you give me 5 minutes a day, watch what God does in your life. Since I was sick, my whole spiritual disciplines were in disarray. I had to worry about physically becoming more healthy about where I'm at today than when I was there. I was more worried about everything else but myself. And because of God's grace, I'm here today. And what I'm doing is I'm rebuilding my spiritual life. I'm spending more time with God. I'm spending more time in His Word. And the revelation that He has given to me is now coming forth. And I'm prophesying it to you guys. And you don't even realize that I'm prophesying what God wants to do. And I've told you that some of you are apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists. But yet you are resistive in your own minds to even think that. That is a high calling. But it is no higher than someone who goes and washes the toilets or sweeps the church building and all. Or does maintenance. Because my Bible tells me in Ephesians 4 that all work together for the needs of the body, building each other up. My job is no more better or exalted than that job that someone does. And when I come in here, and I've come in here, and I've scared the daylights out of Jen. She doesn't know pastor's walking through and seeing how things are going on. But I compliment their faithfulness to do that. Remember last week I said, you know, this mindset that's prevalent in the church, especially in the denominational side of the church, is that's the pastor's job. I know my job. I'm doing my job. I'm trying to equip you to do your job so that we can win more people to Jesus Christ before He comes. The object of the game here is not have one or two or three or four. The object is to get the boats out there to launch and throw the nets out and then pull them in. We need to stop compromising those areas. When we believe the doctrines of demons, we enter into compromise. When we believe the philosophies of carnal men, we enter into areas of compromise. Why? Because they are diametrically opposed to the truth of God. We need to agree with God. God said it. That's the end of the story. And we all say, I believe your word, but do you? Do you really believe? Because if you do, then let's saw our limb off and see if God would uphold us. Okay? 6. This part is just geared for our men folk. 1 Kings 12:1 says that Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. Guys, you have been ordained. I have been ordained to take a position that we were created for. According to Genesis 1:28, and you'll constantly get tired of hearing it, but it's the truth. We were ordained to rule, to have dominion, to have authority and power over things invisible and visible. We are ordained to multiply. And we do the multiplication really good. You know, we add to our families and stuff. But when it comes to God-ordained positioning for men, we do a terrible job in that. And God is trying to get the men back into their original position. He doesn't have a problem with women. The problem with women is they're doing our job. I didn't hear an amen from the lady, so... But it's true. God has ordained you to rule and reign in your families in love. He has called you to rule and reign in your vocations in love. He has called you to rule and reign in the church in love. He has ordained you to rule and reign in society. And I think what happens is we as guys think we understand God's government. If we understood God's government, and I'm going to give you a nugget, the church is the hub of God's government here on earth. He has ordained every person on this planet that is a believer of Jesus Christ to rule and reign and extend His government. That means He has to rule and reign in me first. Then His authority and power comes into my family. My family has to be set right. Once my family's set right, He then begins to offer me positions of authority and power within His church. Why? Because nothing's more important than His church. He is not coming back for me individually. He's coming back for all of us collectively. And so we need to change our self-view to a worldview that is bound on God's purposes and plans. And if you have not taken your position, and I can speak for most of the men in here, you have. But He's not satisfied in you just taking your position. He now wants you to influence other men. I know of a case where one of our men is taking the very things that he's been learning, and now he is telling other men what they need to do about prioritizing their lives around God, you know, getting rid of the junk that's keeping them separated from God, you know. He's pulling down every vain imagination and every argument that fills cardinal men with a belief system that is totally erroneous to what God wants. Rehoboam went to take his position. What is your position that God wants for you to fill? And some of these men that I've been training are becoming pillars within the church. And that's not just for here. You see, I have a vision. I have a father's vision of releasing sons to do their work. I don't have a father's vision that my sons stay in my house. You know, nature tells us that even the birds, they kick their youngling out, man. They want them to fly and get out. And that's a foreign concept today, because that's how the mega church was built. Fathers raising up men to have position, but never releasing them to fly on their own. This is an apostolic vision. This is what God is doing in this day. And denominationalism and all those things, they got it wrong. They have it wrong. They send their men off to seminary. Come on now, this is supposed to be funny. I don't care. I'm pulling my boots up, my pants up, you know. I don't care. But I have a heart to release. God has a heart to release. God wants... Guys, if you don't take your position, the women feel like they have to do your part because they want to cover you. And they're not set free to do what they have been ordained to do. We are given the burden of ministry. They are given the blessings of ministry. And it's true. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And I will receive, but the eventuality is to give it away. 7. Understand the ministry of Jesus Christ. How many of us understand why Jesus came? We understand that He came and paid for our sins, right? Oh, I get an amen. Okay, somebody's waking up. Okay, Miss Holly. That's only one part of His ministry. What was the other part of His ministry? Oh, preach the kingdom of God is absolutely correct. He has destroyed. He's already done that. He's already done that there at the cross. You're set free. You're healed. You're all the covenant blessings are on you now. You just haven't realized it. Mark 1, 14 and 15 says, "And now, after John was put into prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And he said, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" We are not to believe in Jesus Christ only. That's what repentance is. We're to believe that he's the king of the kingdom and we serve him. The church has got it wrong. The church is running around here thinking that you know, we come here and have a good time and our worship team comes and leads us into entertainment. No. We entertain him. An audience of one. It's our opportunity to come and praise him. But our job is to be equipped and trained to go out and win the lost. He died for the world. The world doesn't know that they are saved. They just need to hear why they're saved and believe it. And that's where your job comes in. And that's neither our male job or a female job. Jesus is the perfect Lamb of God. He was no sin. He took on sin. He became sin for us. And when we said, "Yes, Lord," what that meant was my first part of was fulfilling his ministry. I repented of all my sin and wickedness. And repentance isn't a one-time deal, church. Every time the Holy Spirit is working in you, we need to repent. We need to get clean. That's what the blood of Christ is all about. Do you just take one bath? And you're good for the rest of your life? You don't. I don't. Because you see, sin stinks. It does. And we are left without excuse before a holy God. We need to understand that part of our job is also to go and tell people, because now we're part of his body. He's the head, we're the body, and when he tells us to go out. I mean, that's what part of the Main Street Music Festival is about. We're trying to work with other churches in order to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. We use the music festival, of which Jess is doing a really wonderful job working behind the scenes presently, to draw the crowds so that we can tell them about what Jesus has done. Not tell them about streams. Not tell them about first love. Tell them what Jesus has done for them. Then conviction will come in upon their heart. They'll repent. And then the responsibility is to get them plugged in, get them trained, get them released. And so the expansion of his government will never end. It's about him and his government. It has nothing to do with us. I heard a person say to me last week, "But you don't understand, Pastor. I got so much stuff that's going on in my life." I said, "Yeah. When are you going to get obedient?" You see, because when we start submitting our lives to Jesus Christ and stop doing the things we think that we should be doing, I'm not saying life gets easier. It just becomes uncluttered. We can begin to start seeing things clear. And when we had so much junk going on in our lives, we're more worried about the junk than we are about the message and the person who we represent. We're ambassadors. Whether you like it or not, or know it or not, we are ambassadors of heavenly kingdom. I tell you, we're supernatural beings. The power of the supernatural dwells in us. We are. That's who we are. And if you agree with me, then you understand that all that I am and all that I have is his, because he's been so gracious to give it to me. He is the King. He is trying to restore us back to the Genesis 1:28 position that Adam lost for us. I want that position. I want to be one of those lords or one of those kings. But more importantly, do I want to see that for myself? I want to see it for you. I want to see you fulfill God's will for your life. No matter how grandiose it is or how minute it may be, it is important to the full scope of His plan. 8. Stewardship. We've talked about stewardship. We've talked about finances. We've talked about the responsibility of that. But I want to expand stewardship in a different way. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15 says, "For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." Our stewardship of things is more than just finances or the care of our families or our jobs. Our stewardship has to deal with, are we giving to ministries? And I don't want you to not think we're not supposed to. We are. But is it at the expense of the local church? I sit in the local church, I want to get entertained, but I go home and I watch this televangelist because he's so good. I just feel so complete when he talks about all this stuff. And so I give my tithe to him. So what God instructed you to do? My first question. Second of all, don't you know that the local church is where you're to be fed? That's your home. What you're doing is you're taking the seed that's supposed to go into God's storehouse to help equip you and feed you, and you put it into a ministry that the monies that you give to those ministries, they support a lavish lifestyle that you and I will never see. I mean, I know guys, they're anointed, but they live in gated communities. I know guys who have bodyguards all around them. $2,000 suits, Rolex watches, rings, bling, whatever. And I'm not against that, believe me. God is not against wealth. But I can't justify in creating a kingdom for myself at the expense of the flock of God. I have a nice suit. $1.99 or $1.99. Yeah, it's good enough for me. You know, I'm not here to impress. I'm here to get the truth out, to encourage God's people. When we send our tithes and offerings to a storehouse that we receive nothing back. I mean, do you put your hand to the television screen and let them pray for you? Or do you let the body come and touch you and embrace you? I mean, that's what was going on today. You know, let God touch you. He wants to move through you. I'm not the high and holy man. I'm just the guy who senses God and want to train you up so that when people in everyday life, you will not be ashamed of going out and saying, "Hey, can I pray for you? Can I lay hands on you and pray for you?" And watch what God does. If you read the book of Acts, you see that they didn't do things in the church. The church went out into the highways and byways and great miracles happened. Jesus didn't do these things in the temple. He went to the highways and byways and performed miracles. Where do we think that if we build it, they'll come? We build it. We're training you to go and compel them to come. Stewardship is more than just our finances. It's about our families. It's about properly taking care of our wives. You know, I've spent 40 years, actually 43, 44 years with a great woman. And I appreciate her and thank God every day for her. Because I wouldn't be the man I am without her. I wouldn't have the kids that I have without her. I wouldn't have the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren and the great-great-grandchildren that God has promised me that I will see spiritually. I'm trying to get God's people to become sons and daughters of the Most High. That's what the world is waiting for. But if your financial stewardship of your house is out of order, you can't stand up as a son and daughter. You see, we've got to get back to basics, and we've got to get back to the purpose of the church, what the ministry of Jesus Christ is, how to raise up sons and daughters, and release them. Let them do what God has anointed them to do. That's what I'm all about. I'm not a one-man band. We showed you that video last week. The pastor did everything. Ain't happening here. Those days are long gone. They are. We need to take our responsibility and our positions. 9. Gift ministries. Ephesians 4:11-12 says, "And he gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." I asked Gomez, we were having pillars. I said, "How many churches were built by pastors?" Don't answer. Don't answer, Jess. How many churches were built by pastors? Excuse me? Who built them? Well, now you're getting too spiritual for me. Yeah, that's true, but that's not the truth. Christ is the head of all the church, universal. Go ahead. You're right, it's zero. Pastor Mike said the same thing. But who built them? But who built them? The apostles built it. You see, every son has an apostolic calling because the apostolic calling, and that apostolic just simply means sent one. One who sent out. And I'm not going to elaborate what the calling and how that job spec comes into play. But every son has this vision of, I want to build something. I want to build according to the patterns that God has said for me to do. And it doesn't resonate right here. Okay? There will be a time when I will be put into pasture, pastor in the pasture, and someone else will take over this work, and we are in the midst of raising up those men to take over those positions. But some of you are prophets. Some of you are dealing with dreams and visions, according to Joel, and you're not being trained. You need to be trained. Why? Because as the scripture says, there's many false apostles, false prophets. And if you understand what the false is, and basically what they do, they're self-serving. They will lie and cheat and do whatever they have to do in order to get your finances into their pocket. Have I lied to you? Have I cheated you? I have, Pastor Mike? Well, then forgive me. Forgive me, that was not my intent. He's going with me. He knows where I'm going. I have not. I have not taken a dime from this ministry in 14, 15 years in building streams. In close to 30 years of my walk, I've not taken a dime. There has been things that the church has done for me, but I believe in putting it back into the people of God as much as I can. That's the heart of a father. The heart of a true father is one to give back. To give. That's the heart of our Father in heaven. He loves us so much that he gave. He keeps giving. You can't outgive him. You can only be like him. And if our goal is to be like him, and then we function in those ascension gift anointings, things begin to start happening and start working. You know, the first church was moved by the Holy Spirit. And what we're trying to do in this day is we're trying to find out what the pattern is of the first church, when the reality of it is, as I've said to you guys, we're Acts 29, and the pattern that God wants to set forth is the apostolic pattern. And that is raising up sons and releasing them into ministry to work these patterns out. There is a strategy and a stratagem in which to do that. And God has been unfolding that for us for what? 10 years? 12 years? And now it's manifesting. You are important to the body of Christ. I am just one member. And I need you to rise up, guys and gals. Some of you may be prophetesses. Some of you may have apostolic anointing. Some of you may be evangelists. Some of you may be teachers. Some of you may be pastors and pastorettes. I don't know. I mean, I do, but I'm not released. But that's part of the apostolic prophetic anointing, is to recognize those gifts and talents and then confer that upon you when God says it's time. He uses our trials and tribulations not to punish us. God never punishes us. And I'm just sensing in the spirit that there are one or two of us here today that are thinking that God is punishing. God does not punish us. That is from Satan. He wants to lift that off of us. He wants to take those burdens from us. He wants to bring healing and health and life to us. But it comes not from the individual anymore. It comes from the body of Jesus Christ functioning and flowing together properly. That's why I stand back. I just watch what God wants to do. You guys are anointed. You're just as anointed as me. That's the truth. If you believe Isaiah 61, I have been anointed to preach the good news, to heal the brokenhearted, set the captives free, preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I have been anointed to push down the mountains, to fill in the valleys, to restore the broken ways. Is that your anointing? Oh, it sure is. If you're in Christ, it is your anointing. You're expected to do this in various ways. It's really not mystical. It really isn't. It's very practical. And I'm doing this all without my glasses. 10. Number 10. And that is a mystery. But that's God. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day." Number 10 is becoming entrepreneurial. It's having a business spirit. The kingdom of God isn't built upon J-O-B, Job, or we call it today, job. The kingdom of God is built upon his spirit going out and meeting needs and service to the body of Christ that will provoke the world to come and see what's going on. Some of you have been receiving dreams and visions of a business. but don't know how to go about it, or think that that may not be God. Well, let me ask you, did you think about it on your own? No, God put it there. Joel 2 says that, you know, old men will dream dreams and young men will see visions. Well, I see visions and I dream dreams, so I'm like middle age. What has God seeded into your heart to turn something that could be lucrative for his kingdom? Because, see, it's him who gives power to get wealth. We need to use the right tools in order to establish it. And when it's established and we give it to God, it is his responsibility to bless it. We're not to worry about what the government is doing, because that's the Antichrist spirit. We're not to worry about what Jezebel spirit is trying to do to us. We're not even worried about the Leviathan spirit that is trying to wrap itself around and squeeze the very life of Jesus Christ out of you and out of me. It has no authority over us. God said something to Eve. He said to the serpent that his offspring would bruise his head. And then he said to Satan, he said, but my offspring, Eve's offspring, will bruise their heel on your head. In other words, what he was saying is there's going to be this contention that's going to happen. But we're the ones that prosper, not Satan. You see, part of the covenant that God gives to us is prosperity. Not just health and not just eternal life, but prosperity. And a person who establishes a business really establishes it by faith. They have to believe that God is going to take care of them. But it's also a test. Are you going to be faithful to do your part? We've sat in many messianic services. And I have to tell you, I get excited when the Jews go crazy for Jesus. They do. When it's time to offer, man, they are just hooping and hollering and going crazy and stuff. And I sit here with the people of God and it's like, here. I want to encourage you that as you give hilariously, as you set purposes in your heart to give to God, he'll give back to you 100-fold, 200-fold, whatever he wants, give back to you. Remember I talked about the tithing and I said there's some here that want to tip God? We'll just tip. We'll give you a couple bucks, God. Yeah, we're good. That actually is a revelation of your heart. If you believe God's going to take care of you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because I believe that as I give to him, he'll give back to me. The ingredient is believing that he'll give back to me, which he does, but not in the way that I think he should. He's God. He tells us how he's going to give. As you give yourself to these 10 things, I truly believe that God is going to richly bless you, bless your family, bless the areas and where your vocation is right now, because it takes faith to get up every day and believe God is in our situations. It really does. But how many of us can just believe God? How many of us can believe that he's created all this out of nothing? How many of us can believe that he's created us that is a delight unto him? He doesn't make junk. that we're the apple of his eye and we're the crown jewel of his creation. Because there's nothing else created that's in his image. Nothing. You are important to God. The days are getting darker quickly. I want to exhort you to be all you can be for Jesus Christ. But you got to come out of yourself. You know, we're not turtles. We don't become self-contained. And when danger comes, we just retreat. I hate to tell you this, guys, but when danger comes, that's when we run to battle. We run to it. We don't retreat from it. And there is still coming a great harvest upon the land. God has said it. It is in the Bible. But he needs workers. That's not the job of the angels. The angels have their job and also have their position they need to hold. Let us go out with a bang. Let us go totally spent for the things of God. That even the fire that is contained within us would incinerate us with such zeal for the kingdom of God that he would glory in our efforts, and we can stand here before him and he say, "Well done, my good and faithful servants. Enter into the joy of the Lord." We can have fun. Ministry is meant to be fun. It is. But we need more help. We need more people. We need to fulfill the vision of God. He is putting us together, and you're not here by accident, and you're not hearing this for the first time. You just may not have been aware of how these pieces are being fitted together. I encourage you. Sell out totally for God, and he won't disappoint you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, may you be lifted up, Lord God, above all. You are our sanctification. You are our salvation. You are our health. You are our supplier. And you're so much more. You've told us that eye has not seen and ear has not heard the things that you prepared for us who love you and are called according to your purposes. God, let us dream again. When we were young, God, we dreamed. Let us dream again of the greater possibilities. Rekindle that fire within us, O God, to share the good news. No matter what our situation or circumstances are, that when people point out those faults, we can say, but God, Lord, you are coming. You are coming for a glorious bride, a church without spot or wrinkle. You have ordained it from the beginning. You have cleansed us from all unrighteousness, God. You have forgiven us of our sins. Help us to forgive ourselves, God. It's never too late, God. You're never disappointed in us, O God. You love us eternally. You don't punish us, God. You've taken our punishment. God, cause us to see the vision to become world changers. Help us to be those history makers, God. Help us to get trained, equipped, supplying each and every need to the body, God. so that you may receive glory and praise, and that we would be your ambassadors to the very end. I ask you, bless your people, God, today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.